Creator and sustainer. That's my favorite terminology. I just add creator, redeemer, sustainer. That's it. And in the prayer time, talking about that we don't own anything. Everything's on loan. I was thinking about that yesterday. I can tell I'm in the presence of great minds. We think alike. That's wonderful. I was thinking, you know, I own those cars out there in the garage. I own that camper. I own this house. I thought, well, then if I own it, why aren't I taking it with me? And I'm not taking anything with me. You know what we're doing? We're paying to use things. That's all we're doing. We're just paying to use things. Ah, well, here we are. Lord, in these moments, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. You are indeed our Redeemer and our Sustainer. I don't preach very often on the Psalms, and to have selected Psalm 42 came as a matter of prayer and thought on your behalf. This 42nd Psalm is actually a song that was written by the men who were the music and choir directors of the temple. They were appointed by David, and they wrote this song, and they performed the music in the temple and in the choirs for the congregation. They even arranged for the congregational singing. And the Psalms, just like the songs in our hymnals today, are meant to express what's going on in us, our everyday needs, our everyday experiences, our hopes, our dreams, our trials, our disappointments, and how we handle the circumstances that we didn't choose. And that's one of the things knowing that you're changing pastors and what's going on in the life of Pastor Dave, and my goodness, there are transitions going on here. So this psalm fits perfectly. It focuses on our hunger. Hunger pains in our stomach that drive us to find food. Hunger pains in our heart that help us to seek out love. Hunger pains in our minds that lead us to seek knowledge and creativity. And hunger pains in our souls that help us to find God. Psalm 42 is recalling how David, the shepherd, David, the musician, David, the killer of Goliath, how David handles things that are unexpected in his life. And from that, I find help for myself in circumstances that I did not request, in situations that I find unexpected or uncomfortable. And I hope that will help you as well. David, he's been a hero. He's also been a musician for Saul. And you talk about unpredictability. Saul was unpredictable. One day, David is just bringing tears to Saul's eyes. His music is so beautiful as he plays and sings in Saul's presence. The next day, Saul is, as the Bible puts it, Saul is throwing a spear at David to pin him to the wall. Fortunately, David has pretty good reflexes, and Saul misses. He misses his target. I mean, one minute, King Saul's throwing a spear at David, and then the next minute, as you read his life in 1 Samuel, around 20th chapter, 22nd chapter, Saul says, "Hey, how would you like to marry my daughter? All you have to do is go out and kill 100 Philistines." You know, I think Saul was actually hoping that the Philistines would kill David, but he comes back. He comes back perfectly, and he gets the daughter. He comes back, and he marries the daughter. Aren't you glad you didn't have to go kill 100 men to get your wife? This is Father's Day. Oh, my goodness. What they had to do in those days to get a wife, Unbelievable. So David thinks everything's okay. He's married to now Saul's daughter. He goes home thinking, everything's better. Saul has settled down. Everything's great. Only to find out that Saul has hired several men to sneak into his home that night and to murder David in his sleep. But his wife finds out about it, and she tips him off, and she helps him escape out a bedroom window. You think your life is exciting? Try David's. It's amazing how that guy makes it and lives as long as he does. And David then, after he escapes out the window, is on the run for 7 years. Saul pursues him to kill him. David, you know the story. One night, David knows where Saul's camped out. He sneaks up on him. He could have killed him right there, but he didn't. You see, David is in some circumstances that he would not have chosen for himself. But then that's true for you and me as well. Have you chosen all the circumstances and situations in life that confront you? I haven't. They just come to me and I have to react, or I have to work with them. How about the circumstances of Pastor Dave this past week? Are those the circumstances he would have chosen for himself? I think not. But nonetheless, he has to deal with them. And he appreciates your prayers. I know that he does. This psalm is asking us to reflect on our own lives. And during a time of transition like this, you're probably doing a lot of reflection anyway. And what's the future going to be like? All right, let me use a personal example. For instance, my wife Mary Lou and I have spent the past 2 summers traveling around the United States. We've been with friends. We've had reunions in Colorado. We've had friends in, South Dakota and Iowa and New Mexico and Texas and Georgia and South Carolina and up to Maryland and then back here to our home here in Rochester. We've done that for 2 summers now, trying to visit. It has cost us a lot of time and a lot of money, but it is something that is okay because we planned for this. We chose this. And it's okay. However, last year after we got back, we had more expense than we thought. We had gone to the expense of putting an English garden in our backyard. Turning our backyard into an English garden with trees and shrubs and flowers and all kinds of things. Garden walk, just beautiful place. We came back after last summer to find half of it dead. Our automatic watering system had malfunctioned. We hadn't expected that. We didn't ask for that. That was really discouraging. So Mary Lou and I decided enough's enough. This summer, right here, this very summer, we're staying home this year. We're replanting. We'll be there to water every day. We'll take care of it. And we have a golden retriever, Leo. Leo's a year and a half old. I would have brought him, but would have never gotten anything done. He would want to befriend every one of you in turn, and would have never gotten out of here. But Leo goes everywhere we go. And we said, you know, we need to do some training with Leo this year. So let's stay here. All right, we decide, we promise each other that we are going to stay here. How do those promises work for you? You know what's coming, don't you? We got 2 phone calls. One phone call was from our daughter in Dallas who said, "Hey, Mom, I'm pregnant. I'm having a baby on June 22nd. No, you can't have. We're not going. We promised we're staying here. We hate Dallas in the summer. We're not going." That's not what we said. You know what we said. Oh, rats. You know, the timing is lousy. We like the occasion. That'll be our 11th grandchild. That's super. But, wow. Timing, and we have to break a promise to each other. Why? Because there's somebody we love that needs us. Okay, we'll go to Dallas. We make that decision. 2 days later, I get a call from my 97-year-old mother in Chicago. That's where I was raised, suburban, central west suburban Chicago. And mom is there and lives with my sister. They built a wing on the house where mom gets her own apartment, and it's really great. But mom has caretakers, and mom called 2 days later and said, "Hey, I need you guys to come stay with me in June and July because my caretakers are going on vacation. Please come and stay with me." Huh? Oh, mom. So, last Friday, I put Mary Lou on a plane to Dallas. She's down there helping Tiffany with the baby. And the baby was born early. The baby was born Friday, this Friday. I have pictures. We can meet afterward. And everything's going well there. And then my part is we're divide and conquer. So Leo and I were going to head to Chicago. So I was busy getting things ready last week after I put her on the plane last Friday. So we're all ready, and here we go. And then I get a call from Pastor Matthew. Huh? I was going to Chicago to be with mom. And then he explains to me what's going on. You know, this is life, and it's a good life. But like you, like all of us, like David, like just go through the Psalms. It's the human condition. We end up in situations and circumstances present themselves that we didn't ask for. And then the challenge to us is to act in the love of Christ and to do what we can do to help. So I'm going to Chicago to take care of mom, to be with mom. Mom still cooks for herself, by the way, so I don't have to worry about cooking. She's quite a gal, handles her own checkbook, and although I will check it, she's 97. She's doing well, but we'll see how she's doing. But you know, and then Pastor Matt, he told me the circumstances that required assistance. And when I was talking to Matthew, there's an old English poem that's been translated, an old Irish poem that's been translated into English, and it came to mind, and I want to share. You find the words in the hymnal. They're on hymn 451 is where they are. And I didn't, what do I do? What do I do? And it was like turning to God, and that poem came back, "Lord, you be my vision. Be thou my vision. O Lord of my heart." And you've done a great job this morning. Thank you. You put me at ease so well, so easily, and right into the presence of God with those songs of introduction to your prayer time. Thank you. That's a beautiful time. Be thou my vision, O Lord. Nothing else matters to me except that you are who you are. You are my best thought. By day or by night, waking or sleeping, your presence, O God, is my light. And be my light, Lord, as I go to worship with this congregation in Bergen. Lord, be my wisdom. Give me truth to speak. I want always to be with you, Lord, and you with me. You and you only are first in my heart. Great God of heaven, you are my treasure. Great God of heaven, you have already won my victory. I have nothing left I have to worry about conquering in this world. God did it through Christ. Everything I need to worry about has been conquered. I just need to receive and reach out in faith. And Lord, when I reach the joys of heaven, I'll see you because you are the sunshine of heaven. Heart of my heart, whatever befalls me, or you, or my daughter, or my mom, whatever befalls us, always be my vision, for you are the ruler of all that is. And so on the phone, as I was talking with Pastor Matthew, my answer was easy. Yes, I'll be glad to help. Just like King David and Mary Lou and me and baby Emily, you are in the midst of circumstances not of your own choosing. Now back to King David, and he found himself in circumstances that were not of his own choosing. The one thing he did was to remain faithful. He had to run for 7 years, but he remained faithful to the voice and to the leading of God's Holy Spirit. And that's where all of us are. That's all we have to do. And God moved David from those caves in the wilderness to a palace where he lived a long life. Did he make mistakes along the way? Of course he did, but he's known as a man after God's own heart. If he had made no mistakes, he would have been Jesus Christ himself. But he wasn't. And like you and me, we all make mistakes. We all do. But David always went back. He never gave in to evil. He picked himself up, dusted himself off, and said, "Hey, God, I goofed, didn't I? But I'm back. Lord, let's go on from here. Let's go on from here." That was King David's, and he came from a cave to a palace. You and me, well, we don't have caves and palaces, but let me tell you, what we have is we live on this earth. Sometimes that's pleasant, sometimes that's unpleasant. But someday, as David traded in a cave for a palace, we'll trade in this earthly life for our heavenly palace. Now, it's important to remember that although King David was brilliant, a fabulous military strategist, courageous, brave, a great warrior, and yet a wonderful musician, just bring you to tears or make you laugh. What a talented guy, brilliant. But with all those qualities, where was he living? In a cave, on the run. Why? Because, you see, as many qualities and gifts and talents as you and I may have, or as David had, those qualities will not keep us out of the caves. Those qualities will not save us from heart surgery. Those qualities will not save us from the tough choices that we have to make in life. It will not save us from the sadness that we will endure from time to time. You see, because those aren't the things that endeared David to God. God was impressed with David's heart. That's what got God. I like this guy. He makes mistakes, but he owns up to them and moves on and does his best to do better. Pastor Matthew, let's look at their situation. Pastor Matthew, in an attempt to be faithful in his life to the voice and the leading of God, is leaving Bergen and continuing his ministry in a different community. What will come of it remains to be seen. But one thing is certain. Anything impressive in his ministry, just like David, will come from Matthew's heart. How about Pastor Dave? He's given himself to you in ministry, and he's recently had this heart surgery, and that's certainly not a situation of his own choosing. What will come of it remains to be seen. But one thing is certain. Anything impressive will come from his heart. The Reverend Dr. Wilson Jones, good friend of mine, poor guy was going to defend his doctoral thesis in New Jersey, and nobody was going with him, so I volunteered to take him, and we had a lot of fun, and to be there with him just as support. When I did my doctoral work at the University of Chicago, I had carloads of people waiting outside, all kinds of, and poor Wilson didn't have anybody to go with him, except me, the poor guy, but we had a good time together. He's coming here to you, and he's coming in an attempt to be faithful to God's calling on his life. He's moving his ministry to Bergen. What will come of it remains to be seen. But of this we are certain. Anything impressive that's important to God will come from Wilson's heart. How about baby Emily, who was born a couple of 8 days ago, born Friday at 8:10 in the morning, 6-pound little gal. Her birth onto this earth was not of her choosing. Anybody here this morning asked to be born here? All right, there's your first situation that was not of your choosing and not of your control. That should have been the first clue as to how much you're going to be able to control in your life. We're not in control, just like we don't own anything. We pay to use it, but we don't own it. God owns everything, and God owns our futures. Now, her birth was not of her own choosing, but what comes of her life remains to be seen. But of one thing I am certain, anything impressive from her life will come from her heart and her faithfulness to God. And then there's one thing more. There's this matter of you and your ministry. You are all ministers. What a great variety of skills and talents and potential and perspectives and is present. It's just unbelievable how God pulls different groups together. And Mary Lou and I, it's been a privilege to move from congregation to congregation in this ministry. The thing that was a real eye-opener to us is when we were delegates from Texas to the World Methodist Council in England 1 year, and to see Methodists from all around the world, and to see how different we eat, we dress, we talk. It was just like the United Nations. It was fabulous. Translators all over the place, people wearing headsets so they could tell what was going on in the proceedings of the World Council of the Methodist Church. Fabulous time we had together. And every congregation, that one really opened our eyes to pay attention to the local congregations where we would serve throughout our career in the United Methodist Church. It's amazing to me how every congregation has a different composite personality. You all together. Only Christ could hold you together. Only Christ could do that. He's drawn your hearts together, and that is fabulous. And anybody who walks through these doors, if they're received like I was received this morning, I said, wow, you've got a great future ahead of you. It was warm and inviting, made me want to be here. There's tremendous potential among you, and God has gathered you for a reason, a heavenly reason. Earthly, sure, but the main reason is for a heavenly person. Your job on your path and your journey to God's eternity, to heaven, your job is to take as many people with you as you can so that they too can experience the joy and the richness of life in Christ. So I can only imagine the great plans that God has for you. But of this one thing I am certain, if anything impressive is going to come out of this congregation, it's going to come from your heart, the heart that I felt today. Thank you so much for receiving me in Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. We have this need, as the psalm started out by saying, oh, the screen goes away and you got a cross. Good. It's my first time here. I'm like a new kid in a candy shop. Oh, looky there. The psalm started by saying, Lord, you're my food. I hunger and thirst for you. That's what it takes, and that's what kept David throughout his career. We need physical food for daily survival. It is a survival issue. Try going without food for a few weeks. It is a survival issue. But we also have a need for relationships. That comes in a close second. And our relationships, the most important is God, our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. That's the one we need. And just as we meet at a physical table today, you're all probably going to go gather with your families and friends around the table for physical food and to share together in conversation. We need to do that on a regular basis. We also need to meet in God's presence as His people together on a regular basis for spiritual food. Because in the deep places of our lives, we all hunger to sit at a table where both body and soul are satisfied. And that's the beauty of the Lord's table. My friends, this is not the table of the United Methodist Church. It is the table of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it is He who invites us to partake together. It doesn't take away our hunger. It's not that quantity of food and drink. What it does is make us aware when it hits our stomachs that, oh, this is satisfying. I want more. I want more of God. And that is one of the purposes it serves. And so, if you seek to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbors as yourself, or to love your neighbors as God loves you, you are invited to this table where we will partake together.